VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, I'm still trying to get over yesterday's program with attorney Matt Staver, who is representing Sandra Merritt, as this case went to the jury. I mean, here we have the group that is exposing the baby body part sale of Planned Parenthood, but as the jury receives their instructions from the judge, he says, I've already determined that they are guilty. You just need to determine how much money. And you cannot use the First Amendment as your defense. Folks, repeatedly we are seeing a trashing of our Constitution. We're seeing a trashing of the rule of law in our land. And today is going to be another example of what is taking place. Let's go back to 1972. There was a proposal put out by Congress for interested states to ratify the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. This was sent to the states for ratification, which the states had 7 years to ratify this. And this is when one brave and determined woman, Phyllis Schlafly, went to battle against this devastating impact that the ERA would bring to this nation. She informed, she educated, she fought for values. She started a movement called Stop ERA, and she won that battle. And now, while many are being distracted by this so-called impeachment inquiry, there's an effort underway to try and undo history by legislatively removing the deadline that Congress had set for the ratification decades ago, nearly half a century ago. And on November 13th, 2019, the House Judiciary Committee gave its approval to do just that. Join us today as we speak with Ed Martin. Ed is the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, as well as an affiliated organization's Eagle Forum Education Legal Defense Fund and America's Future. Ed was nominated by Phyllis Schlafly to succeed her as the president of Eagle Forum Organizations. He's a lawyer who holds advanced degrees in medical ethics and philosophy and was chief of staff to former Missouri Governor Matt Blunt. Ed, nice to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Well, it's great to be with you, Jim. I feel like sometimes we should get together and talk about fun things that are good, not all these threats to our Constitution and our way of life. But I'm really grateful for the opportunity, and I appreciate what you and your program and also the network do to get these truths out there. So great to be with you.
Well, just to help us understand where we are today, let's go back in history, if we could, to 1972 when debate was underway about the ERA. Take us back, if you would, Ed, in history. Unfold for us what took place.
Well, briefly, the brief sketch, which is, you know, in fact, Jim, there's going to be a popular miniseries after the new year. They're already filming it in Canada, starring Kate Blanchett on FX, and it's called Mrs. America, about Phyllis Schlafly. So we'll see. I suspect they won't treat Phyllis well, but they have to report this bit of news, which is your point. ERA passed, and when it passed, there was a time limit on the ERA. The Congress, in fact, they made a big deal in order to get it passed. They put a time limit on it. In other words, the states had to ratify it, as you point out, was set within 7 years, and then it had to be, and if it wasn't, it would expire. It passed with almost everybody. Republicans, Democrats liked it. They thought, oh, what's wrong with equal rights? Phyllis Schlafly and a band of volunteers, mostly women, moms, and wives, banded together uniquely. We could talk more about these details, but uniquely a bipartisan and, more importantly, maybe interfaith between denominations as well as Jewish and other faiths, built this army, and they beat it. Now, along the way, Congress changed it one more time, extended the deadline, argued that they were allowed to do that. That was in the Supreme Court being litigated, whether the extension was allowed, two more years. Even that expired, and so it didn't pass, and it died. And it was good that it died, because the arguments that Phyllis made, and Phyllis Schlafly and the other Eagles, were about, if you change the Constitution with the ERA, which looks innocuous, it will, in fact, enshrine abortion rights into the Constitution. It will enshrine gay rights into the Constitution. It will dramatically change how we live. And anyway, so it lost. All these decades later, as you point out, the far left still dreams of having won and beaten Phyllis Schlafly, and so they've brought it back up. And today, to be honest with you, Jim, many of the things that Phyllis feared in the ERA have become part of the law,
yes.
Not in the Constitution, though, but whether it's abortion, taxpayer dollars going to abortion, some of the gay rights, even the transgender issues, which are more prevalent today, but they had been previewed back then, because you can't have a bathroom that keeps any sex out. It's discriminatory, and so you have to allow, you have to allow same-sex bathrooms, and in this case, in this modern era, it would be transgender. So that's kind of where we are, and I think it's really a far-left fantasy, but unfortunately, people like Nancy Pelosi are allowing the far left to dictate what they're doing right now.
Okay, so I understand they had to have 38 states to approve this in 7 years?
Yes, that's right, 38 states. And they initially got, I think it was 35,
mm-hmm.
But five of those states rescinded it within a year or two. States that passed it initially, and then they realized, wait, we didn't quite understand that, and they backed off. So, but the argument now is 35 passed it, and a few more states in recent years have passed it. And now you want to say to yourself, well, when Illinois passed it last year, are you passing something that's non-functional? Of course you're passing something that's non-functional. It has no effect. And yet the left and the media don't care about truths. They don't care about facts. They just care about talking points. And they're trying to make the argument that they're one state away from ratification. Well, it's just a plain lie.
And it is a plain lie, but what they seem to be doing is this recently turning of Virginia blue has seemed to re-energize this movement.
But it's exactly right. I mean, the question right now when you look in this country is, you say to yourself, the Democrat Party now has gone so far left, it's almost unrecognizable for those of us that remember a party that, had pro-life Democrats and pro-market Democrats. It's driven to the left. But I think, as you say, there's sort of segments of the population that are sort of rabidly pushing certain agendas, and it feels like on the ERA the feminists are doing that and the leftists are doing that. And look, when you look at what they've wanted, I'm talking about the left now, just on ERA, they don't like the family. They don't like, life. They don't like traditional culture and values. So all of these things can be overridden, and it sounds, the late Phyllis Schlafly used to say, Equal Rights Amendment. Who's against equal rights? It sounds like something we all, apple pie. Mm-hmm. Well, you have to break down what it means to amend
right.
the Constitution and what the real truth is.
Now, you mentioned that this had gone to the Supreme Court, and we understand the court actually did take action. What was it, 1982, saying, yes, it was valid that the deadline of the ERA has passed?
That's right. What happened was there was one case, and I'm missing it in my mind right now. It's not in front of me. That was pending, actually, by the time it expired, and therefore they said it was moot. But that's right. It was. It's at least arguable whether you can extend the date at all. The U.S. Congress is saying they can do that. Here's the reality. I mean, as you know, we have an office in Washington, D.C., and that's the office I now work out of. I worked with Phyllis in St. Louis for a long time. I now live in Northern Virginia and work in D.C. I've met with the senators. I've met with the leadership in the Trump administration. None of them support this. It's not going anywhere right now, so this is really an exercise by Pelosi to energize her base and to feed the feminists. But the broader concern is people don't understand what the threats are, and
mm-hmm.
they think, young people think, well, what's wrong with equal rights? And that's what we'd spend a lot of time educating about.
Yeah, I believe that case was Now versus Idaho.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. Yes, you're right.
National,
I appreciate that.
National Organization of Women. But,
right.
Okay, so, and I'm holding in my hand right now a copy of House Joint Resolution 38.
Yep.
It was introduced January 30th, 2019, and steadily during this time it's been adding co-sponsors. As of today, I just checked a short time ago, 217 co-sponsors, of which 215 are Democrats, two are Republicans, that's Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, Reed of New York, and it appears by looking at the purpose of this House joint resolution, it's to go back and somehow legislate away this deadline back from 1972.
Right. Well, first of all, there are a couple of Republicans on there, and that's disappointing but not surprising. I mean, there were, back in the day on ERA, there was lots of Republicans. In fact, Phyllis used to say that, she had three presidents against her, and, Ford and Nixon, as well as Carter. So the Republicans, some of only a few fell for it. But that's right. The what was considered in the Judiciary Committee over the last few months and recently voted out is that basically, so there's two tacts that people have taken. Some, Ruth Bader Ginsburg a few weeks ago did an interview and she said, I'd like to see ERA come back up, but we'll have to start again and go back to the states. That's one, what is the more realistic legal argument. It's okay, if you want ERA, pass it out of the House and Senate again, and then go to the states. That'll never happen. But the other one is this convoluted attempt to, as you point out, to change the, either change the date, remove it completely, or to move it back and say you've got an extra year or two or something like that. Look, I expect that Nancy Pelosi, you know, I often say to people, there's only a few dictators in the world. Some of them are in socialist countries in South America. One of them is the House of Representatives. The Speaker of the House, in political terms, can dictate what happens. That's the way that works. As soon as you're elected Speaker, you have a ton of power. I believe Pelosi will pass it out of the House as a way to say to the base, here we are, look at us, you know, and all that. I think it's one of the reasons she's probably going to lose her speakership next year, but that is what they want to do. It will die right there. I just came off the Hill this afternoon and had a luncheon with Kevin McCarthy and texted to the senator after that meeting. It's not going anywhere in the Senate, but, you know, it will probably get a bunch of attention, and the media will say, wow, this is progress, when it's not progress at all.
And indeed, and that's why it's important we talk about this, because it really exposes what is the intention of those who are just casting aside the rule of law, casting aside, by doing so, casting aside our Constitution as well. And as you pointed out here, Ed, this HJ House Joint Resolution 38 went before the House Committee on the Judiciary November 13th, that's 2019. Jerry Nadler was chair of this committee, and they actually passed this 21-11 on that committee.
Yeah. Yeah, and we had someone at that one. I wasn't at that hearing. At that hearing, we had someone there. Even within the Democrat Party, and I know we're going to get to this over the course of this show, Jim, there's a split amongst the Democrats about why they're doing this. If you're a real hardcore liberal, you think it's great that the ERA will protect transgender rights. That's what it would do. You think it's great that the ERA would enshrine Roe v. Wade and also demand that taxpayer dollars pay for abortion. You would not be able to discriminate against a woman who has a legal medical procedure like abortion. That's the argument. You have to pay for it with tax dollars. This isn't something I'm making up. Both the pro-abortion and the pro-life community say that's true. In that meeting, there was that kind of conversation going on amongst the hardcore liberals. And then there were others on the panel who were saying, well, we're just doing this because we want our daughters to be as equal to our sons. I think they know the messaging doesn't work. So it did pass out, though, as you mentioned, and it will get pulled up to the floor, I suspect. If I had to bet, it'll be in the spring at some point, or after the new year at some point, where they can try to tie it to the press and get the media to cover it.
Folks, nearly 50 years ago, this thing passed through the congressional House and Senate, and then went to the states for ratification. Received some 35 states. They needed 38. They fell three states short. Since that time, there have been other states that have pulled the ratification. I guess they just don't count those states, Ed. They're going to think that they're still in their camp.
Well, and again, this is the argument, right? The argument, you know, you have to really work hard if you're an ERA person. You have to say, we disregard the will of the Congress in setting a deadline on this, but we will also disregard the will of the states who want to rescind. You know, it's kind of like, you know, having it both ways, that they are only going to count, you know, the states that passed it. They say, well, that will honor when they passed it, no matter whether they rescinded it later. So, again, look, don't take my word for it, Jim. I like to do this all the time. Take one of the most famous fighters of the ERA era, not Phyllis Schlafly. You'd expect me to quote her. Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I tell you what, we got a break right here, Ed. We'll be come back with that quote from Ruth Bader Ginsburg after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, during Creation Week, what kinds of fish were created?
Chris, the Bible says God created each of the animals after their kind. It says on day 5 of Creation Week that the fish were the first truly living creature that he created. This was the first use of the term living. On day 3, he had created plants, but these are never in Scripture referred to as living in the sense that they had blood or the breath of life. Plants are biologically alive, of course, but not living in the sense of having consciousness. On day 5, however, the Bible says that the oceans were literally teeming with life. Each basic type of fish was created at that point. Since that time, a lot of varieties, say of the cod or the bass or the sharks, have arisen, but no new basic kinds. God created all things after their kind, back in Genesis.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
Folks, it's hard to fathom, but indeed, the battle is being resurrected over the Equal Rights Amendment nearly a half a century ago. And there are those who are seeking to just destroy the rule of law, just kind of legislate it away and bring forth saying, hey, we've got just one state away from passing it. No, they don't. With us today is Ed Martin, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. And Ed, as we're going into the break, you were about really ready to quote Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Well, that's right, and we were laughing as over the break, you and I, that I don't think your program, and I certainly don't often quote Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but about a month ago now, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, to be clear, one of the things that, you know, makes me shake my head when they try to beat up on Supreme Court nominees like Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, Ruth Bader Ginsburg spent most of her life fighting for abortion rights, fighting for the ACLU, fighting against God in our schools, our churches, our schools and government. I mean, she was a far-left fighter. She got put on the bench in the Supreme Court, and you know, people are like, oh, well, she must be a thoughtful lady and must be a serious person. Well, be that as it may, to set that up, she said about a month ago that there was no room, the way she said it was she hoped that the ERA would come up again, but it would need to start in the Congress and start out again and be sent to the states, meaning she did not see any of this argument about changing the date or passing it in states and claiming it is going to be it's already counted and all that. So I cite her as authority, but you know, there's plenty of reasons why voters and your listeners and people that just care, citizens, should be focused on why the ERA is bad. This is a really bad idea. And if you put it in the Constitution, the protection it would afford for really bad things, from taxpayer-funded abortions to transgender rights, elimination of single-sex schools and entities. You couldn't even have a Girl Scouts. Now, the Girl Scouts may decide they want to let everybody in, but that you couldn't even have something like that under the law. So there's a lot of reasons to be worried.
Folks, again, this would solidify things like abortion on demand as a taxpayer constitutional right. It would give men this constitutional right to be in women's restrooms and locker rooms, stripping churches really of religious liberty protections, and it would do away with so many of the sex-specific aid programs, WIC, government funding of battered women's shelters as well. Ed, just this morning I received an email from NARAL Pro-Choice America. Here was their subject line: make sure reproductive freedom stays at the forefront of the 2020 election. And they were talking about the debates taking place last night, or taking place right now here. But that's really what this is all about, isn't it? To see that so-called reproductive freedom stays at the forefront?
Well, you're right, Jim, and I should say that it's important what you just did to bring us back, screech us to a halt a little bit. I think your listeners and you, both your program and also the network, they tend to be people that are interested, informed, faithful, so they have a range of and they're hearing a lot of these concerns. But the simple fact, you're right, it's always simpler is more honest. The abortion rights movement is a multi-billion-dollar business that it has if you're a leftist, it has the redeeming quality of being a big moneymaker while you destroy families and life and all the rest. And so you're exactly right. I mean, look, ERA, again, don't take my word for it. NARAL has said it. The pro-life, National Right to Life has said it. And a New Mexico Supreme Court, a state Supreme Court, which examined the ERA at the state level, all have said that if you have the ERA, you will be enshrining abortion and taxpayer payment for abortion, because you won't be able to discriminate against a woman who wants a health care procedure. It's what the left calls abortion. And therefore, you'll have to include it in Medicaid. You'll have to include it in health care plans, a little bit like you saw a few years ago when Obamacare and others said, well, you may not like contraceptives. That may be your concern, you Catholics or you evangelicals, whoever, but we're going to make you cover it because we say it's an acceptable form of health care and you can't discriminate. So it is fundamental, it's big, and frankly, as the left has lost ground in the legislatures, many state legislatures, and now with the President Trump and the House and Senate on the pro-life issue, they've looked for other ways to do this, and ERA would be a way, because it'd be in the Constitution. You can't simply legislate around a equal rights amendment the way you can sometimes around laws that pass, and you can't clean it up. So it's a big threat.
Indeed. And as we take a look here toward November 2020, a significant election for the United States of America, I think what we have here, Ed, is a foreshadowing that as there is an attempt underway to turn the Senate blue, if they can be successful, the Democratic Party, in turning, keeping the House blue and turning the Senate blue, they've just given us a forecast, a prophecy of what they plan to do.
Well, that's right. And look, as the late Phyllis Schlafly always taught me, and when I worked with her, she talked a lot about, she would, with a big smile, she'd say, politics is where the action is. And what she meant by that is, the winners make the laws, the winners set policy. And you pointed out that in 2020, there'll be a president on the ballot. Earlier, I guess it's right around now, while we're doing this show now, that the Senate is passing out two more judges, Court of Appeals judges, on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. It will flip, those two will flip the 11th Circuit to all Republican, to a majority Republican appointed. That's extraordinary, and this president's doing that, this Senate's doing that. Those are pro-lifers by and large. There's a few that are a little bit squishy, but mostly they're strong. So that's going to be on the 2020 ballot. As you point out, if you reelect a Pelosi-led House, under the influence of AOC and the Squad of Three and the far left, who knows what they'll do?
Yeah.
If you put that in the Senate, we can only guess. And the same thing with the presidency. There's a lot at stake. I would say this: the power of your show, you and I talking, your listeners, is being the ones that understand how this fits together and is able to explain to our neighbors in the pews, to our neighbors in the neighborhood, how it connects together, so that they understand, not the soundbite from CNN that isn't it progress that we have equal rights? Well, what does it mean? And mm-hmm. We've got to connect those dots.
Indeed. Ed Martin is with us today, and so as we take a look at the grassroots, all of us listening here today, what action, how can people actively get involved in this? I mean, it's outrageous to see it's gotten this far. It passed the House Judiciary Committee. As you said, it's likely going to go before the full House of Representatives. What action can people take as far as getting involved?
Well, the first thing I'd say is learn what this all means. And, if you go to phyllisschlafly.com, that's our website, you can find a lot of details on ERA. And understanding what it means takes a little bit of effort, but that's the first thing. And there's other good resources. You mentioned that you interviewed Matt Staver yesterday. There's a whole bunch of conservative lawyers that are really smart. So that's one thing. Get yourself educated a little bit. I will tell you concretely, one thing people can do, it'll take about 10 minutes. It's different than what you're going to expect, Jim, I think, is to pick up the phone and call both of your senators.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if they're Democrat. Doesn't matter if they're liberal Republican. Call them up and just leave a message. You're not going to get to talk to them. And say, hey, I oppose the ERA. I think it's bad for us. You got to have a little knowledge. But, I tell people all the time, the switchboard for the Congress. So you get an operator, and you can say, connect me with Senator, Blunt from Missouri, or Senator Kamala Harris from California. That number is 202-224-3121, mm-hmm. 202-224-3121. Take you 10 minutes, make two phone calls. If you want to be really ambitious, make a third one to your congressman, and just tell them, we don't want ERA, it's bad for us. Now, after that, very concretely, in the 2020 election, we will only win these elections for our conservative faith positions by ground game grassroots. So if you would like to be the U.S. Senator from your state, good luck. If you want to be a precinct captain, which is what I am in my little neighborhood, I was chairman of the Missouri Republican Party, Jim, for a couple of years. I was on the RNC. When I moved to Virginia, I got an application, and I got myself precinct captain of my little neighborhood, and I'm talking hand-to-hand. That's how we win. You have to be willing to put some time in. And the most powerful people in politics are precinct captains who get a couple of hundred names, and they're connecting and building community. We're not going to do it by one knockout blow on Tucker Carlson on a Tuesday night. We're going to do it by reminding our neighbors that we care, why we care in those positions. So those are three steps. One is educate yourself however you can. Maybe phyllisschlafly.com is the best source I know.
Mm-hmm.
Call your senators, like I said, at that 202-224-3121, and then get involved at the grassroots level in politics. I'm not going to say on your show it's always Republican. The Republican Party is more conservative and pro-life, but your listeners, where they are, I assume it'll be Republican, but it's not mine to say. But get involved, change the course. In 2020, it'll make a big difference.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Ed Martin is with us today, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. And again, the website, phyllisschlafly.com. And you can go to the site and learn more about, I'm sure you'll find a search button there. Put in ERA, and you'll find a lot, and you'll see how Phyllis was very much involved in this battle in the 70s and beyond as this continued to rear its ugly head. PhyllisSchlafly.com, and then make that phone call, two phone calls to your senator, 202-224-3121. And if you, that's a switchboard. If you want their direct numbers, go to senate.gov. You'll find a listing of members there, senate.gov, and look at for the two for your state, and you'll have direct numbers into their offices, and you can have impact there. And if you want to contact your House member, that's 202-225-3121 to the House switchboard, but house.gov will also get you that direct number to your legislator. Representative Collins of Georgia said Congress that they don't have the constitutional authority to retroactively revive a failed constitutional amendment and subject citizens in all 50 states to the current political trend in just one state. One of the things he's pointing out, number one, we don't have the authority to do this, but number two, he's pointing out, this is 50 years later. The current political trend is far different than what it was 50 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the danger here, Jim, and is that there are some amendments that were passed without a timeline, without a timer on it, without an expiration, and they did hang around for ages and ages. And the founders are silent on this. I mean, you know, one of the reasons, if you look back at Phyllis Schlafly's arguments, and she talked a lot about this subject I'm about to state, that the Constitution is really a blessed, brilliant document.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be very careful when you go to change it. And in fact, it is hard to amend it, but one of the quirks is that there's nothing that says you can or have to have a timing mechanism on an amendment. So you have had some that have hung around for decades and decades and even longer and then suddenly been passed. I agree with you, though. The point of it is to have it considered by the people who are elected in 1975. The, you know, people in states were considering it and voting on it. Now you're going to bind two generations later people to that. It is counterintuitive. I think all of that argues for, hey, if you want to do this again, do it again.
Yeah.
Don't try to sneak in the back door on it. But that's you know, with the left, they don't care about facts. They don't care about tradition. They don't care about culture. They don't care about what you think. They just see if raw power can shove something through, they'll do it.
Ed Martin is with us today, and Ed, I'm going to give you something to think about till right after the break, and that is there's a controversial process to amend the Constitution known as the Article 5 Convention. There are people on both sides of this that many respect, and the question will be, and we're just seconds from break, so I'm going to have you answer on the other side, but the question is, could this Article 5 Convention be a way to slip in the ERA, even though it may be for balanced budget or other purposes? So you think about that, folks.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break. Ed Martin is with us from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. And if you'd like to get on board with your questions or your comments, our lines are open, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829 here to Crosstalk. Folks, what do you think about this? I mean, here they're trying to just disregard the rule of law say, hey, there's no time frame any longer for the Equal Rights Amendment. Some are saying, hey, we only need one more state, and it's going to be the law of the land. It's going to be part of our Constitution. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a coworker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5, or 5 copies for a donation of $18, 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Our guest today, Ed Martin from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. And again, the website, phyllisschlafly.com, for more information about the ERA. And yes, indeed, folks, some of you are saying, hey, did I just wake up? Am I Rip Van Winkle? I mean, here we saw this back nearly 50 years ago, and now it's resurrected. Ed, I asked you to be thinking about a question during the break, because there is a debate today, and it's going on in a number of states, about having an Article 5 or a convention of states, a kind of convention. Some have said, hey, we can narrow it to be just a balanced budget amendment. Others are saying, wait, this can include a whole lot more than just that. What are your thoughts? Could an Article 5 convention usher in, unintentionally, the ERA?
Well, look, the Article 5 Convention of States has been proposed for years and years and years. The late Phyllis Schlafly fought it in the 1980s. There were some, and usually there's some well-intentioned conservatives on the side of promoting it. I don't begrudge them their sincerity, but as you point out, every honest supporter of the Article 5 Convention of States or any of those Article 5 conventions will admit there is some chance of a runaway convention. And meaning if it's a 5% chance or a 10% chance or a 90% chance, you tell me the number. My position is the Constitution is so uniquely successful, there's no reason to risk it. And then I turn and say, wait, with the CNN and MSNBCs of the world and with the presence of delegates to a constitutional convention, a convention of states like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, how do we think that this would be likely to be under control? And my point would be, who would win in that setting? Well, they'd take your Second Amendment right pretty quickly, or at least limit it. They'd certainly put something like the ERA through. Again, you know, it's a solution in search of a problem, or at least it's thinking that problems can be solved that way. So I would fear that very much, yes. I think that would be dangerous.
Folks, there is a pathway here that some are seeking to resurrect the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. I'd like to get your thoughts on the issue today. Our number, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Spencer, Tennessee. We have Ed calling in. Ed, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm not too clear what's going on here. Do you want to start all over again or just try to stop the three states from getting in?
Well, my answer would be the ERA is always a bad idea. So wherever someone tries to do it, I would say we'll stop it. If somebody thinks it's a good idea to promote it, they have to start again. There's no other option. So starting again and presenting it and having an argument. And remember, it passed in the House and Senate in the 1970s, and right after the 1960s, the late 60s, it was early 1970s, with unprecedented bipartisan support. I don't deny that. But let's see what happens. I have a lot of confidence that we have a more conservative leader, House and Senate, that would not let an ERA go through. But that would be what I would say would have to happen. And those states that think that you can pass it in these three more, right now they're saying one more state will put it through. That's just nonsensical. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing right now about the law or an argument to be made that is anything other than, as you've said, Jim, over and over, kind of lawless to promote that. So yeah. Either start again from the beginning, or my preferred thing is don't start again and leave this go, and let's look for better things to do for our country.
Thank you, Ed, for the call. Our number, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is my comment. I think there's some exceptionally striking personality similarities between Israel of the past, those in our current U.S. government officials. And by that, what I'm getting at is I can't help but think Schumer reminds me a lot like Ahab. Pelosi reminds me a lot like Jezebel. And Schiff seems to be, reminds me a lot about Haman. And based on Righteousness Exalts a Nation, I think these characters are totally the opposite, and that's my point.
Okay. So thank you for the call here, Mark. So, Ed, basically what we have is those who... examples of those who don't respect law and certainly don't respect our documents, our founding documents here across our land.
Well, and look, again, I like to meet the people that have a sincere, you know, the Article 5 folks, a lot of them have sincere concerns. The ERA folks that are pushing this, they seem to be sort of in the hyper-partisan, you know. When I see even the people that are showing up at the in the Capitol for the Judiciary Committee hearing a few weeks ago, we had someone there, they took pictures. It looks like that rally the day after President Trump was inaugurated, you know, where the women's rally where they, you know, yelled about blowing up the White House and wore the pink hats and looked. It's kind of a rabidly partisan and run by the feminazis, as the late Phyllis Schlafly used to quote Rush Limbaugh. So, but as you say, the problem is more and more we see politicians who are willing to ignore the rule of law and the Constitution in order to curry favor with these partisans, these, you know, far left folks. You don't have to watch much of the impeachment inquiry to see that, you know, and that's really dangerous for our future. We a spirited republic that operates within the Constitution has worked really well. A set of leaders that start ignoring the rule of law and is a problem.
Indeed, and if we throw out that foundation that we have, we throw out the rule of law, if we throw out our Constitution, it takes us back, and the caller was talking back to, you know, biblical era times where every man did that which is right in his own eyes.
Right, exactly. And again, I think that the trick for us, Jim, and it's, again, your show and the network and what we talk about, it's not a trick, but the instinct for us that we have to reinvigorate is going back to the basics, going back to why do we want the rule of law? Why do we want the Constitution? What is it about authority that you know, binds us to the Lord for us, but even for our neighbors, to a system of living together that works better? I often tell people, you know, even America was not a Christian nation formally, but it was founded as a Judeo-Christian place, and that meant we were people of the Word. And as people of the Word, we related to the words in the Constitution, and it's held us together. We're seeing more and more people that are not people of the Word, and therefore they don't feel bound by anything that has authority over them. It's just power. Pure power governs. And that, as we know from reading the Scripture, leads to a very awful place. It sounds a lot like Sodom and Gomorrah, and worse.
Indeed.
So it's a worry.
All right, I've got a couple open lines here, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Tom is our next caller from Port Wing. You're on the air, Tom.
Yeah, I have a question in regards to amendments. We've seen our marriage amendments violated by the Supreme Court. How do we protect ourselves if we do get a vote on this ERA again, that whatever we decide won't just be circumvented by the Supreme Court?
Good question. Thank you, Tom.
No, it's a great question. I would say to you that the overriding of, and you're referring to, many states passed a referendum in their states in 2004 and around that period, specifically saying marriage is a man and a woman, you know, and so, and then the U.S. Supreme Court in the Obergefell case just overruled that. And I think one thing we have to recognize is we have to be willing to say and do something about judges that are out of control. Now, I think this president has helped us get more conservative judges, but I have felt for a long time that people that do things like Obergefell, they should be impeached. They should be jurisdiction taken away from them by Congress. You know, we shouldn't stand for it. Our country is not supposed to be run by black-robed oligarchs. And I think the caller is exactly right. Here's the difference. In this case, we're asking we're now saying to Congress disregarding the ERA time limit to put something in the Constitution, I bet we'd find a lot of judges that suddenly found that they were going to uphold the constitutional provision of ERA, and frankly, they'd use it as a way to be activist judges in favor of the left's agenda. That's really worth pointing out, Jim. You know, we jumped into this for a lot of the show and maybe didn't list some of the problems. You put an ERA into the Constitution, it will become the place that the judges use to try to extend the far-left agenda, whether it's transgender rights, whether it's control over education when it comes to sexual education and the relationship between men and women and men and men and women and all the rest. So that's a great point by the caller.
Thank you, Tom, for the call. Our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Ed, what kind of impact would an ERA have upon churches across America?
Well, it's an interesting question that has yet to be litigated, but think about it this way. If I told you that, if you told me you were going to start to run your church and your church had a tenet of the faith that was unconstitutional, the easy one to do is race. Let's say that your church says, you know, we're going to discriminate against people that are, you know, blue. And that was became one of the things. There are now civil rights under various ways to look at it, ways to say, hey, you know, you got to be careful what you do, that you can be in trouble. I'm not against that, by the way, but here's what I would say. ERA, it would make it so that churches that advocate against, say, abortion would be going against a constitutionally protected right in the Constitution, not just in a Roe v. Wade decision. And so would a pro-life group be protected? Are you allowed to have pro-life groups that are advocating against a woman's fundamental right to have health care that's protected by the Constitution? You can see how quickly the slippery slope of the state power is used to silence us. It doesn't have to change us. It just has to get us to sit back and let the culture roll all over our people. So, and you can see that, by the way, on marriage. It happens so profoundly. You can see it on sex education in public schools and other places, God in schools. So it would be a tool for the left to run roughshod over conservatives and damage churches specifically and church ministries, I would say.
Eric in Madison, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. We have something in the Constitution that's called freedom of religion. And you all talk about constitutional rights until it infringes on your religious beliefs. Then everything is constitutional. Keep your religion out of my life. If somebody wants to choose to be transgender, if they choose to have a partner that's a woman or a male or the same gender, that's their business.
Mm-hmm. But Eric, it also becomes our business. And Ed, when we have certainly a male identifying as a woman who comes into a woman's locker room,
that's right,
or
no, this
shower.
Is, look, I mean, this is a classic liberal argument to try to put us in the position. I'm not telling you what you can do in the privacy of your own bedroom. There's no laws that I'm promoting that say I'm banning for what you do in your privacy. But what you misunderstand, in America, we have a tradition that says you can't tell my religion what to do. You can't tell my conscience what to do. You can't override. That's been protected. And more importantly, what the ERA would do is require me to live with your transgender preferences. That's different than saying, again, if an adult wants to undergo surgery for transgenderism, that is crazy to me, but that's not something I'm certain how we could ban. I might like to see an attempt, but certainly you tell, an ERA would tell us that women's sports is eliminated.
Yeah.
That's what it would say. You will have transgender boys running in women's sports, and that would be the end of it. You would say you cannot have, can't keep transgenders out of locker rooms, can't keep transgenders out of all-girls schools. That's what the Constitution would say. That's different than what you're arguing for.
We're up against a break. Back in 60 seconds, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, our number 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. In Christianity Today, in October of 1960, then FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover wrote an article in Christianity Today warning America's pastors that their pulpits were a target by the communist. He warned them the communists would use masking terms to bring them along and aid them in furthering the communist ideas and philosophies. He said they will do this in many ways, but one of them is by using terms like, well, we're just about love and justice, the brotherhood of men. Let's not fight. Let's work together. We're about peace and economic justice and civil liberties. My friends, this is exactly what's happening today. It's out in the open. And now communist promoting guys are openly penetrating the church in America with front groups, just as J. Edgar Hoover warned.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Ed Martin is our guest today. The website, phyllisschlafly.com, for more information on ERA. But again, folks, to contact your members of the Senate, 202-224-3121. Looks like the House may be picking this up. It's already passed through committee just a week ago, and the House to likely take up this measure. And you can contact your House member at 202-225-3121. We'll get to some more calls in a moment, but Ed, just further on this caller who just phoned in, he said, well, we're all against, you know, freedom of religion until what? You know, this is an infringement on our free exercise when you have the government that would come into our church and say, you must now start accepting this or that, which is totally contrary to the tenets of Scripture and certainly contrary to that free exercise of religion, free exercise of belief.
Well, and you know, Jim, I sometimes hate fighting for conscience protection because it feels like you're retreating in the sense that, you know, we've always expected it in America. We've always had it. It's hard to believe we're arguing over it because I want to say to some people, I would like to ban transgenderism. I would like to raise the barrier for people doing some of these kind of. I do think that transgenderism is really evil. I don't think it's a, so. But we're not even as Christians. We're not even arguing for some of those things. Although I do think as Christians, we need to say more forcefully, abortion is murder.
Yes.
So we don't let people murder their brother. We don't let people murder their spouse, and we shouldn't let people murder their children. So we need to argue forcefully. But I agree with you completely. Protection under our First Amendment is supposed to allow us to have our conscience and have these protections. So, but again, it's important to understand things like the ERA movement. It feels like to me they're used more to radicalize people against conservatives and Christians than they are to move an agenda that's meaningful. I really believe that.
Let's get out to the state of Oregon, and Michael, you're on the air.
I just want to ask, who changed the word from murder to abortion? Because it's just murder, and our God tells us we're not supposed to murder.
Yep, that's what our guest just said. You're exactly right.
Well, I'm glad you did that, because I do think sometimes, and Jim, I'm not complaining about you and me, but sometimes we get talking on these issues and we have lots of insights, and frankly, the Lord put it pretty clearly, murder is murder, and it's always wrong, and whether you call it something else doesn't matter. So thanks for that, sir. I appreciate it.
Have a nice day.
Thank you, Michael. Gary in Joplin, Missouri, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment to the gentleman that called a while ago and telling us to keep our religion out of their lives and stuff. Doesn't that go both ways? Can't they keep their worldly views out of our lives?
I mean, well, I agree with you, and I'd say it even. I would say it even stronger. The religion of the culture right now, American culture, is secularism that hates God and hates the commandments and hates people that obey those rules. They want lawlessness because believers of the law are, you know, what they hate. So I agree, and that's a religion. Secularism is a religion, as sure in the sense that they worship its tenets as I don't mean it truly as a religion, but it's like a religion in how people adhere to it, and they want to force it on us. They don't want it to be. They want that to be the religion of the land, and to the detriment of. And frankly, to the detriment of our own faith, but also to the detriment of the health of the human beings who I believe need a faith for their nurturing and for flourishing.
Hmm. And my comment is, I don't have religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate the call.
Well said. Again, these callers are good, Jim. They're putting us in our place. I think that's right. You know, again, I don't want to argue for freedom of religion, except that's what our Constitution says.
Right.
I want everybody to have faith in the Lord and that He's our Savior. And after that, we want to live in a country that has protections for us doing what we need to do to have more and more of us come to know Christ. So good for that caller again.
From Missouri, we're heading now to Pennsylvania. And caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is anonymous, but I have a comment. My place where I work, there is a female that has transgendered into a male, and I don't feel comfortable with him being into the restroom with my wife, nor do I feel comfortable with him being in the male restroom.
Mm-hmm.
But I've struggled with how do you approach that. And also, your program does seem to focus on this topic very often. I've heard it at least 3 or 4 times a week. And it just comes across as being repetitive, and you do need to focus on other topics like lying. And
well, this is the first time we brought this up, but let me say that this week, and yesterday was a totally different topic. So, yes, lying is a sin, but you know what? I don't find lying that is being put into our textbooks. I don't find lying story hours at public libraries. You know, I don't find common councils and city councils that are trying to make lying an equal opportunity for their meetings. So we deal with these issues because they're very front and foremost here. Ed, your comment.
Well, look, I understand what I hear callers, and I respect, first of all, thank you for calling. It's important to us for the feedback. Here's what I would say. I travel across the country. There's no issue that's scaring parents and hurting our citizens more right now, at least in terms of the energy, than this transgender thing. It's very confusing for people. It's kind of terrifying. So while I agree, all the sins and all the ways we fall away from the Lord deserve some study. This is front of mind. And frankly, ERA is moving. We didn't just make this up, Jim and I, to talk about.
Right.
That would be a different discussion. Something passed the Judiciary Committee of the United States House of Representatives last week that would further transgender rights. So the other thing I think is the fight for life is and for respecting life is at a particularly wonderful moment. More young people say they're pro-life on abortion, and more of our seniors are helping us understand how we honor the end of life. We're at this incredible moment. It could be one of the great moments in our history if the ethics of how we do this is informed by Christ and what He teaches. If it's informed by secularism and power, it becomes very hollow very fast. So I think in some ways this conversation is as important as almost any that have to do with truths. So I'm glad to talk about it.
Okay, thanks for the call. We're out of time. Ed Martin is our guest here today on Crosstalk. And Ed, give us again the website and how our listeners can stay abreast of these issues.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks again, Jim. And if people want to reach me directly, I'm on Twitter @EagleEdMartin, and I'm on, you can email me at ed@phyllisschlafly.com. That's our website, phyllisschlafly.com, PHYLLIS, then another S, CHLAFLY.com, phyllisschlafly.com. People can email me, ed@phyllisschlafly.com, and find out lots of information there. We have a big conference once a year on a lot of these topics and training, and in most of our states, with only a few exceptions, we have Eagle leaders who work on these issues. So happy to talk to at any time, Jim. Thank you.
God bless you, Ed, and thanks for being on the front lines here to keep us informed. Ed Martin with us here today, Phyllis Schlafly, Eagles, and folks, check them out, phyllisschlafly.com. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.